This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Today, Netflix is releasing a new original docuseries about Flint. During 2016, the producers of Flint Town follow the police department. Here's a bit from the intro, which sets the scene for Flint Town.
Get down on your knees.
Poverty and lack of opportunity, it breeds crime.
This is a story about an American city in critical condition.
We've been in the, top three most violent cities of the country for how many decades?
We are inundated by violence. We are inundated by workload.
We're just going from call to call to call to call.
Another call to another call.
We feel inadequate because we don't have the manpower we used to have.
There's just not enough of us.
Community, they had a complete lack of trust in us. Complete lack of trust.
Are they pissed? Yeah. Pissed.
We got a right to voice our fucking opinion as long as we fucking want to.
So if you got the community and the police department at odds, the police department ain't shit.
I have a son, and it makes me emotional because, you know, it makes me afraid for him to grow up.
Then you throw in there a water crisis.
I've definitely been bathing in the Flint water. Don't know how that's gonna affect my health.
How is there not civil unrest?
I don't think anyone's coming to help us.
Joining me now is one of the directors of Flint Town, Zach Canapari. Of course, Flint caught the attention of the nation and the world because its water was contaminated by lead because of some bad decisions by government officials. But you went deeper than that. Why did you think there was more to the story?
Well, I mean, I've been working in Flint since 2012, so I was not only engaged with the community, but I was very aware of what the community was going through before the water crisis. You know, Flint has been, for decades now, the poster child for the American dream turned into the American nightmare. And so I was interested in what was happening there, you know, way before the water crisis even started. And it felt like a really important place in the American narrative. You know, it's kind of ground zero for American mismanagement and things like that. And the same set of circumstances that led to the water crisis also led to this depleted police department. And so we just saw, you know, a unique way to tell a story about this community and make it engaging for audiences across different spectrums.
We should mention you were making another documentary in Flint. Tell us quickly what that was about.
I made another documentary in Flint in 2012-2015 about Clarissa Shields called T-Rex. She's the female boxer that won the gold medal in the Olympics in 2012.
Yeah, we all know
her. And then 2006. Yeah, I know. I got to think about my audience here a little bit. But, like, you know, she's a real star, and we were hanging out with her very early in her career. And I think through our experience working with her, we just saw a side of Flint that, you know, I think we found really magnetic and interesting. And we just ended up sticking around. I've done a lot of other projects there, and it kind of all led to this police department project, Flint Town.
And why did you feel the perspective of the police was the best approach to tell Flint's story?
Well, a couple of things. You know, I mean, I think policing in America obviously is an extremely important issue. And, you know, around the time of 2015, 2016, it was a major part of the news cycle. It's been sort of overshadowed lately. And, you know, I think we felt like it was important for us to sort of have a perspective on that as filmmakers, as storytellers, as journalists. So, you know, that was one part of it. I think the other part of it was that we also knew that Flint was a unique police department. You know, it's a homegrown police department, local officers mostly from the community, families in the community. And then also on top of that, they are completely overwhelmed. They don't have the resources or the guys really to do, you know, to deal with a city of Flint's size and Flint's crime rate.
I want to get to more of that, but I want to ask you how difficult it was to persuade the department and then the individual officers to allow you in.
Yeah, the short answer is that it wasn't that difficult. T-Rex, the film we made about Clarissa Shields, really kind of helped pave the path for us to, you know, make connections in Flint. I mean, I think a positive story that comes out of Flint really sort of opened up new doors for us. And I think once we approached the police department, we were fairly warmly received. You know, it took some time to sort of figure out what we were doing there. We didn't totally understand the lay of the land. A lot of it is like, how does a police department work? And once we got into cars with the officers, you know, a few officers for sure were hesitant and took some time to warm up and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But a few officers, you know, my first night out, I rode with Officer Frost, who's featured in the show, and you know, at that time, things were pretty raw for these guys. And they were, you know, in the middle of so many different issues. And Frost was willing to sort of be opinionated and willing to be open about what was going on. And so I think right from there, I knew we had something unique. Hearing from these officers, hearing from police officers in this way is what makes our show really different. And I think that, you know, right from the beginning, I kind of glimpsed this. It took us some time to get other officers involved, but at the same time, we knew that we were getting a unique POV of this situation in Flint.
This first episode of Flint Town is about change. New mayor, a new police chief. But the underlying problems for the officers is something you touched on. A decade ago, there were 300 officers in Flint, and in 2016, they were down to 98.
Mm-hmm.
How were you able to convey all the implications of being so understaffed?
Well, you know, right now, today, Flint is the most understaffed police department in America of any comparable city, you know, with its violent crime rates and its issues. You know, it is really overwhelmed, and they try so many different things to make it work with what they have, but it's a nearly impossible game to win with what they have without, you know, new influx of officers, all that stuff. I think what struck us was that, you know, the same emergency manager system that came in and created the water crisis in Flint also gutted the police department. You know, this is all about saving money, and public safety is one of the first things to go. And so, you know, the officers there were part of this kind of constant budget cuts and constant layoffs. And many of these officers who have had many years on this department have been laid off multiple times. And so, you know, they were a department on edge. They were a department on the fringe. And so we kind of saw something really unique that they kept coming back to. You know, they kept coming back to Flint. And a lot about their character. They're choosing, in some sense, to stay and try to figure it out. So there's all these different factors that kind of led to the story, you know, and what these guys were going through and how we were telling the story.
This is an 8-part series which spans a year. Now, you didn't have a crystal ball. You didn't know exactly where the story was going. So how do you determine what is part of the series and what is not?
Yeah, a lot of trial and error, I think, is the short answer. Documentary filmmaking, visual storytelling, all these, you know, journalism in general. I mean, I think in some way you're kind of looking for a certain number of parameters in which to tell a story, and then you go in there and hope that something happens, or, you know, you're basically trying to document what's happening. So I think a lot of this stuff we figured out as we went, and we had some very clear ideas. We knew the millage, which is the big citywide vote about police department funding that happened on election day, would be a big storyline. We knew that Halloween is a big weekend in Flint. We knew that 4th of July is a big weekend in Flint. So we had some ideas about when to be there, but I think that, like, things progress and things change in a city like Flint all the time. It's constantly changing because people are constantly trying new things and trying to figure things out. So, you know, it wasn't really until we got into the edit that we started to really figure out how we wanted to put the story together. We got ideas, but, you know, until you get in there and look at what you've got, it was a little bit more of a guess than an accurate sort of representation. And you know, some stuff really surprised us as being stronger than we thought it would be. I mean, some stuff actually didn't work out quite the way we thought it would be.
So what do you and your co-directors hope the audience gets from the Flint Town series?
You know, I worked with Jessica Dimmock and Dre Cooper on this project. They're the co-directors. And I think the three of us have, you know, slightly different ideas about what the audience will take from it. But I think, you know, for us, all of us sort of saw that the police community relationship is only going to work out if the other systems around it are working. Poverty, education, infrastructure, all these things need to be in place for a police and a community to get along. Otherwise, they're doing something that may be a game that nobody can actually win.
Zach Canapari is one of the directors of the Netflix original docuseries Flint Town, which is being released today. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you, Lester. Appreciate it.